Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome to the end of the week. We're heading into the weekend, so obviously this is the last show for the week. And this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798Part2.org, and RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that actually asserts the constitutional solution to getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. The number to call in if you want to have a conversation regarding the Constitution, regarding your state, what have you. It's Friday. The question is up to you. The number is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK. And so as those who may know me, if you call and you get a hold of me, if you know me, again, I have my three C's. Confidentiality, please, I go by GR, don't use my name. Two, be civil. And three, be concise so that we can get to answering your question and or getting through the point so that we can get into the essay on property, because you have a right in your property and a property in your rights, as Madison would say. I also, I'm hoping, like I said, I've already announced that I do have the campaign set up. I'm just trying to get all the banking and everything else done. And hopefully I'll have the website up and available, which will be 1798 Part 2, which will be a link off of Reclaiming the Republic as well. And it will be the information as what we are doing and how we are planning on executing different strategies to help promote and further the information regarding the audit and what it will take to save our Constitution. And so, as I've said many times before, it is election season. So there are other ways to support instead of throwing money or sending me some kind of money. I just would rather you save some of your money and send it off. I mean, if you want to contribute to the GoFundMe campaign, that's one thing. But if you have money, save it. And let's send it to those candidates that are constitutionally based, that are willing to sign petitions, because I would not spend a penny on a candidate that is not willing to promote and or stand up for the Constitution. That's why I would rather you keep your money in regards to any campaign contributions or that type of thing. But anyway, if you've got a computer, you've got time, you've got a phone, you can help. Interviewing the Wyoming governors. I've got a couple in the can. I've got a couple more to do. In all honesty, I'm not convinced that I'm going to be getting all of the Republican candidates. I got one Republican candidate thus far, and I've got the Constitutional Party candidate, who is also obviously a very conservative, constitutionally minded person. Want to include them. But I'm not convinced I'm going to get all of the other candidates, and that may be just because they feel that they don't need to compromise their standards, because some of these candidates that, you know, I've told you before, we have to take back this brand. And apparently there are a few that won't necessarily represent the brand the way we need them to represent them, like Madison and Jefferson did and so forth. And that's what America needs. That's what every state in this republic needs today. We need Madisons and Jeffersons to lead in doing what needs to be done in getting the federal government back into the framework. Wyoming is already getting polluted with the liberal paradigm. As a matter of fact, in the population centers like Cheyenne, and over obviously on the west side where the colleges are, or the academic little environment, Laramie, I guess, is the local term. And up in the Teton area, where there's lots of Hollywood money, there are little vestiges and pockets. But the real reason why you're starting to see this creep across the entire red portion of our republic is really more to do to the education system. I have harped, I've complained, and I've been telling you that our problem is the education system, and they are doing a great job in indoctrinating and making kids truly believe that collectivism, communism, socialism is the only way to go. So I just want you to know, if you understand how few people live in Wyoming, excuse me, it may make a little over 500,000 in population. That's not a lot, my friends. And as a matter of fact, it does not take much. I've actually sat down and calculated you could probably flip Wyoming with 100,000 or 200,000, somewhere in there. And so it's just a matter of time for either people relocating or the attrition factor to take place. So even the reddest of red states is starting to feel the blue threat, if I can say that. So anyway, now is the time if we are going to do this, and we need to do this efficiently, effectively, and as quickly as possible. As always, I did scan the news. I checked the different news pages and sites, and unfortunately, there is no sign of the federal government disbanding any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. Therefore, they will not ratchet down their tyranny. The only way we are going to get into a liberal society where government is no longer arbitrary, it is following the letter of the law, and we're holding everybody accountable to the law. And the only way we're going to do that is if we insist. So we have to insist this. We have to actually stand up and demand that people actually adhere to the Constitution. So again, I need your help. This isn't just a one person demanding that the federal government comply. They can ignore one state as well as one person. It requires a good concerted effort. And it's just, I believe it's just a little bit of educating the right people. And those right people are the legislators. Don't care what anybody else says. Per the Constitution, the power was given. As a matter of fact, if you understand the form of government that we have as a Republican form of government, we're a representative form of government, the true representatives of the people. And if you remember in the ratification debates, they were, you know, in all these different states, they were going, how can we possibly have two sovereigns? Because they looked at the legislative bodies as truly the sovereigns, because they were the representatives. The executive is literally just a person that executes the laws faithfully. The judiciary only doesn't interpret. They actually determine whether that is in there or not, not by interpretation, but by some form of evidence. And they've been really failing on that. But anyway, the true sovereigns who give us the laws and basically are the ones who make our lives miserable is Congress. And in the states, it's the same people. It's the legislators. And as I've railed on this before, I know we do not pay state legislators nearly enough for what they do. And that is one of the reasons why they are in a position where they're so susceptible to corruption. If we fix some of these little things, I think some of these bigger things get easier to fix. But anyway, as I usually say at this point, I have a standing question, but I don't. It is Friday. And my standing question is, why is reading the founding documents important? But I will let you dictate what the question is that you might have for me. Anyway, let me just move forward. I actually have 2 minutes, so I'm going to start off chewing a little bit on the SCOTUS selection process. I hope that you join me in educating your representatives about the Constitution. I want you to understand, and as a matter of fact, I try to educate anybody that wants to step into the political fray, that Article 6, Section 3 of the Constitution, part of it states, and I will quote, "But no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. So all this time, we've kind of been championing and holding our chest out, saying we're Christian, we want Christians. We really have to stop doing that, because bottom line, we've gotten to a point where everybody, you know, listens, and you see them vote contrarily because of the indoctrination system. People know when they hear the word Christian, when they hear the word conservative, or they hear the word constitutionalist, those are buzzwords. It's just like conspiracy. That creates an emotion in most of the people that have been indoctrinated into thinking, okay, here is a radical far right person. We cannot vote for that person. That is why we need to basically try to avoid, when somebody says, well, how religious are you? Are you Christian? You basically say, okay, the Constitution, you're not supposed to be asking religious questions. There should be no religious tests for public service. Are you violating the law? Because that's the law of the land. And by taking that position, it really disarms them, and they really don't have a dog in the fight in trying to come after you regarding any type of religious convictions you may have, because it doesn't matter. We cannot provide any type of tests. And as you know, I'm at a hard break, so I will be back and finish this thought, because I know I don't have enough time. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614, or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. If you have not agreed with me, I get it. But if you've been listening to this show, you've heard me harping that secularism is a religion, that the federal government has established their own religion in violation of the First Amendment, that they shall establish no religion. And that religion that they established is secularism. Secularism is anti-Christian religion. And that is why in every facet of Christian doctrine, I'm writing an article on this, but I challenge you, you're more than welcome to contribute. Give me a Christian doctrine that is not opposed and or not taught the opposite in the secular school system. Doesn't matter. You come up with a doctrine and you can help me out, then I will tell you that, okay, there may be a one doctrine, one outlier, but when it comes down to how we have lost our footing as a nation, it was when we started allowing the churches to abdicate their responsibility and basically passing those things on to the federal government, where the federal government was able to, under this guise of, you know, fulfilling all of these needs that the churches and local communities were supposed to do. And in that process, they created a secular church. So when it comes down to these religious tests, be fair warned that, and that's one of the reasons why I make a big point when somebody asks me my religion or asks, oh, hey, are you this? I say, no, I don't talk about that. I'm not going to tell you about that. I support individual liberty and individual sovereignty, and you can judge me by my works. You can judge me from where my head is at, how I think, and so forth. But do not judge me by some label or some name that you may want to associate with me. That is biases, those are prejudices, and we have to start washing ourselves away from that. And this religious test thing has gotten way out of control. There are organizations, we believe we vote. That right there is an organization that uses Christianity as a basis, and lots of people may really like that. I'm just going to tell you that if anybody wants to know who not to vote for, go there if you are a secularist. And as a matter of fact, the indoctrination system is basically going and doing exactly that. Hey, and they're using that kind of information for labeling. And they will even cite the sources to say, even to prove it. See, there's a bunch of rabid Christians over here that are supporting this guy. If you don't understand the symbol of the fish, let me explain it to you. During the time of Rome marching against Christianity for a couple of hundred years, it was not safe to be a Christian. If you were proven to be Christian, you would be killed. And so what they had to do is they had to create a secret sign to basically, you know, I think you might be Christian. It seems like how you're talking and the way you act kind of comes up to be a Christian. So what they did was they made, one person would make in the sand or in the ground or what have you, they would kind of with their finger or foot draw half that fish. And if the other person recognized and they would draw the other half of the fish there, then voila, you knew it was kind of like a secret handshake. And that's what they had to do because they were really at war and they knew that they did not have the advantage. So they had to go into hiding. And unfortunately, because of our indoctrination centers and because our churches have thrown us under the bus and because of all of these other things, this is what you have to do. You cannot put your, you know, your religious ideologies on your lapel or, you know, brag. If you do, I'm going to tell you, you will have a hard time moving forward in this political fray. You will. Because the indoctrination system has basically highlighted anybody with certain types of characteristics or labels are a rabid, untrustable type of person. And that's how we've gotten nothing but milquetoast liberals in most of these red states. They may have Republican labels, but in some respects, they're milquetoast liberals. They just aren't passionate. They're not the rabid far left that is, you know, the embarrassment of the Democratic Party. Anyway, I just want to make this big point because you can see how your congressmen are starting to position themselves. Oh, anybody that has these Christian values, Catholic or what have you, there's no way that person will be allowed to sit on the Supreme Court. And that's what Congress is doing. They're using a religious test to keeping somebody from public service. And anybody that says that, get them to say that personally. And as far as I'm concerned, you have charges for them violating the Constitution. Do you see how we can use the Constitution as a weapon now? This is the law of the land. It is the highest law and the supreme law, and there is no amendment that allows them to make religious tests as a process for public service. So I hope you're getting this. This is why this is very important. This is why I'm hoping that you can help educate other people that the information that I do provide on this show is actually a winning combination and a way that we can actually overcome. I will even point to Trump. If you look at Trump, did Trump stand up and say, I'm a Christian? He may have said he was a conservative, you know, because that's the buzzword that everybody, he's a Republican, of course, he's a conservative. But what does that mean? I didn't even know what a conservative means anymore. But if you go back and you look at how he ran, he did not run his election based on his religious convictions or of his faith or anything like that. He was a good family man, supposedly, blah, blah, blah. Just like Obama was a good family man, blah, blah, blah. They're all good family men, right? Even John F. Kennedy. Excuse me. Anyway, if you haven't noticed in the news, another little court tidbit, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court threw out a case where actually they ruled in favor, I should say. They didn't throw it out. They ruled in favor for academic freedom on a case against a professor, and I forget the university, but it was McAdams. And apparently what had happened was McAdams is and supposedly this was a conservative university or college. He is outing the liberals, and I think there happened to be possibly a homosexual professor that was just a graduate student that had just basically started teaching as maybe an adjunct. I don't know. I don't know all the details, but I do know this, that the minority opinion was that they considered what he was doing as cyberbullying, and he was basically saying, hey, yeah, you know, I just think that we have a responsibility of being able to identify who has an ideology that is contrary. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that really tipped off this professor was apparently a student was taking the class and the professor said, hey, don't take this class if you have that paradigm, because that's not allowed here. You're going to fail this class. You might as well take a different class. And so I think that student didn't like that. And so the student probably told McAdams. McAdams basically outed this professor. Bottom line, we're at a point now where apparently we've crossed this line where sticks and stones can hurt my bones, but names can never hurt me or words can never hurt me. Apparently we've crossed that line. And now we're just throwing out the sticks and stones as well as the names and everything else, because it just seems like we cannot verbally say anything that might offend somebody. And I'm trying to have an understanding of what does the freedom of speech mean anymore when the judges are actually starting to cite that somebody is invoking, and when we really start thinking about passing laws about cyberbullying and so forth, I'm going to tell you, parents need to start teaching their children to become very thick-skinned. I'm sorry, you have to let your kids get their feelings hurt, and you have to let them understand that they're just words. It doesn't mean anything. And in the grand scheme of things, parents have the responsibility of making sure their children can adjust. When you all of a sudden have to go to school in freezing temperatures, you have to protect your child by putting on a coat. There are mental protections, and I believe that we're just failing children when parents are not teaching children the core values. And instead, what we do is we enable them and we spoil them and we protect them with bubble wrap. That is not healthy, and it does not create a healthy society, because as they become adults, they want everybody bubble wrapped. And that's kind of like what the Puritans did, and what the Puritans were doing was the antithesis of the American way, right? Nobody should have to be protected from oneself. Government should not be doing that. That is not government's job. That's how we kind of cleanse the gene pool, when people are really that stupid that they're going to do something stupid that's going to kill them, like they're going to steal a big, huge, help me out here, a big, huge coil out of an electrical transformer substation, and they get electrocuted. Well, okay. There you go. We don't have to have laws to do that. Don't steal that. But we do have to have laws, because theft and property is important. And I'm going to get into Madison's property essay, hopefully right when we come back. Thank you very much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so as I start to go down this property rights property, and this essay of Madison's, and this is a very powerful essay, I may not get through it all today, but what I want to emphasize first is, why is the state races, these legislator positions, so important? As I said at the beginning of the show, we are a representative government. They are the sovereigns who we choose to represent us. I have this conversation with lots of people, and lots of people have a hard time getting it. So I'm going to make a presumption that many of you may not get this. But when we establish a government, we surrender certain sovereignties. In our political system, we create a constitutional form of government. We are a constitutional republic. Therefore, within that constitution are those things that we surrender. We don't surrender just carte blanche, whatever, do whatever you want to me, just make, you know, let me keep some money and have a good time. No. Sometimes you do, if you do not do a good job in hammering down in your constitution what specific roles, responsibilities, and powers you want that government to execute. If not, then you have a general sovereign, which means that in almost any case they can think of, they're sovereign and they can come up with laws to regulate you to the nth degree. If you have an enumerated constitution like our federal government, then you have delegated very specific powers that you have listed and how you've defined those, and that is it. And so that's why it's really important, because unfortunately, a lot of states have really slid away from, and I truly believe a lot of states do need to go through and tune up their constitution. They need to refocus on a Republican form of government and so forth. And I talk about all these types of things, but I'm not going to get into that today. The intent is to start changing your focus from the national arena towards the local legislative arena. The sovereigns who have most of the power over you, they actually have the authority to step in your behalf when it comes to violations of the Constitution. When I mean the Constitution, I mean the United States Constitution. So, as I always say, before I start citing documents, I want to ask and pose this question for you. Are the words that I am going to be reading from Madison right here, are these words of deceit? Or have we been taught deceit, and have we been lied to by our professors, our school system, and what have you? Because I will tell you, the integrity that our framers had is so hard to fathom that I just don't think anybody realizes what great men these men really were. Anyway, this is an essay on property. It was written by James Madison on the 29th of March in 1792, or I should say it was published on that day. And you can find this in the Madison's papers. And I believe you can find it out on Avalon Project. And so this is an interesting concept, and I'm going to do what I think is best. I'm going to read the very last paragraph for you of this essay, then we'll start over again. And this is what he says. If the United States, actually I'll read the last two paragraphs because it sets it up, and I think it will impress upon you why this is such an important concept. If there be a government, then, which prides itself in maintaining the inviolability of property, in other words, the holiness of property, which provides that none shall be taken directly, even for public use, without indemnification to the owner, and yet directly violates the property which individuals have in their opinions, their religion, their persons, and their faculties, nay more, which indirectly violates their property in their actual possessions, in the labor that acquires their daily substance, and in the hallowed remnant of time which ought to relieve their fatigue and soothe their cares, the influence, inference, will have been anticipated that such a government is not a pattern for the United States. If the United States mean to obtain or deserve the full praise due to wise and just governments, they will equally respect the rights of property and the property of rights. They will rival the government that most sacredly guards the former, and by repealing its example in violating the latter, it will make themselves a pattern to that and all other governments. That one line there at the very end, or kind of in the middle of the end, respect the rights of property and the property in rights. In other words, what he was saying here is you have a right to bear arms. You have, actually, let's get into something intangible. You have a right to express your religious beliefs. That's not a hard piece of property. That is a right of conscience. He is telling you that that is your property. that nobody dare steal it, nobody dare mess with it or filter it or anything else. And that's what we're talking about when it comes down to raising your children, to understand that everybody has a right to their property and that their rights are property, like he says, that there is property in the rights themselves. And so this is very powerful. So let's start off at the top. This term, in its particular application, means that dominion which one man claims and exercises over the external things of the world in exclusion of every other individual. So he's defining what that word means. It is larger and juster meaning. It embraces everything to which a man may attach a value and have a right, and which leaves to everyone else the like advantage. In the former sense, a man's land or merchandise or money is called property. In the latter sense, a man has a property in his opinions and the free communication of them. He is a property of peculiar value in his religious opinions. He has a property of peculiar value in his religious opinions and in the profession and practice dictated by them. He has a property very dear to him in the safety and liberty of his person. In other words, your right to life, your right to safety, your right to being is a property right. He has an equal property in his free use of his faculties and free choice of the objects on which to employ them. In a word, as a man is said to have a right to his property, he may be equally said to have a property in his rights. Where an excess of property prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possessions. Where there is an excess of liberty, the effect is the same, though from an opposite cause. Government is instituted to protect property of every sort, as well that which lies in the various rights of individuals as that which the term particularly expresses. This being the end of government, that alone is a just government, which impartially secures to every man whatever is his own. According to this standard of merit, the praise of affording a just securing to property should be sparingly bestowed on a government which, however scrupulously guarding the possession of individuals, does not protect them in the enjoyment and communication of their opinions, in which they have an equal and, in the estimation of some, a more valuable property. More sparingly should this praise be allowed to a government where a man's religious rights are violated by penalties or fettered by tests or taxed by a hierarchy. Conscience is the most sacred of all property. Other property depending in part on positive law, the exercise of that being a natural and unalienable right to guard a man's house as his castle, to pay public and enforce private debts with the most exact faith, can give no title to invade a man's conscience, which is more sacred than his castle, or to withhold from it that debt of protection for which the public faith is pledged by the very nature and original conditions of the social pact. Now, I can tell you I'm running out of time, so here's the hard break right here. So I'm going to pick this up when we come back after this break, but I'm hoping that you're starting to get this, that these ideas are very important and are our views, our conscience has to be guarded, and how to do that. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And as I've been saying throughout my shows that I've been broadcasting, how many times have we been, or have I been saying that the schools are the problems? How many times have you heard that a student in school was basically either kicked out, punished, or told they cannot say those things, do not wear that? In other words, we've gotten to a point where our school system is not only filtering, it is enforcing very specific paradigms and very specific words. And that is why you cannot mention, I had a friend of mine in, actually, he worked for me for a while, and he's still a friend. So he was telling me a case where his son, going to the local school, tried to put a paper in for a Christmas project about Christ. And the teacher would not allow it, threw the paper out, and basically punished him for doing that. That is a very common thing. And so what do you think our school system is trying to do? It is trying to rip away your belief that your rights are your property. In other words, you have no property, that the state can even take your conscience away from you. We're being indoctrinated. And to me, one of the most dangerous usurpations has been the usurpation of our education system. I will continue on with what Madison wrote, and then we'll get into some final comments, and hopefully by that time you will have had all the information needed to have the great epiphany of how special and how precious our rights are. So again, Madison stating, "This is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where the property which a man has in his personal safety and personal liberty is violated by arbitrary seizures of one class of citizens for the service of the rest. A magistrate issuing his warrants to a press gang would be in his proper functions in Turkey or Indostan under applications or under appellations proverbial for the most complete despotism. This is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where arbitrary restrictions, exemptions, and monopolies deny to part of its citizens that free use of their faculties and free choice of their occupations, which not only constitute their property in the general sense of the word, but are the means of acquiring property strictly so called. What must be the spirit of legislation where a manufacturer of linen cloth is forbidden to bury his own child in a linen shroud in order to favor his neighbor who manufactures woolen cloth, where the manufacturer and the wearer of woolen cloth are again forbidden the economical use of buttons of material in favor of the manufacture of buttons of another material? He's making a great example here. A just security to property is not afforded by that government under which unequal taxes oppress one species of property and reward another species, where arbitrary taxes invade the domestic sanctuaries of the rich and excessive taxes grind the faces of the poor, where the keenness and competitions of want are deemed an insufficient spur to labor, and taxes are again applied by an unfeeling policy as another spur in violation of that sacred property which heaven, in decreeing man to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow, kindly reserved to him in the small repose that could be spared from the supply of his necessities. If there be a government, then, which prides itself in maintaining the inviolability of property, which provides that none shall be taken directly, even for public use, without indemnification to the owner, and yet directly violates the property which individuals have in their opinions, their religion, their persons, and their faculties, nay, more, which indirectly violates their property in their actual possessions, in the labor that acquires their daily subsistence, and in the hallowed remnant of time, which ought to relieve their fatigue and soothe their cases and influences, will have been anticipated that such a government is not a pattern for the United States. If the United States mean to obtain or deserve the full praise due to wise and just governments, they will equally respect the rights of property and the property in rights. They will rival the government that most sacredly guards the former, and by repelling its example in violating the latter, will make themselves a pattern to that and all other governments. And so, well, I was actually able to finish this. This is a good 2-page essay, but I'm hoping you're getting this, that we have a government that no longer respects your property in your rights. We have a government that no longer even respects your property and your manufacturing and so forth, because as he created these cases, can you just take, if God forbid, some loved one just passes away, what is the process of, you know, burying that loved one? Do you have to buy a casket from a very specified manufacturer? Do you have to buy certain clothes? Do you have to buy flowers? There are so many regulations that have been created to favor one business over another. You can't tell me that we do not have an unjust government anymore. As a matter of fact, the drive behind, supposedly, I've told this because I have friends that are, you know, really big in the union. And they say, well, you know, for plumbing and electricity and those types of regulations, that why you have to have that person, you can't do these things yourself, is for safety. And, you know, for protecting property, protecting lives and all of these other things. And I go, okay, I can understand some of that. Some, you know, like you don't want to connect your generator to a downed line service because somebody up the line could get electrocuted without disconnecting your main feed up. I get that. And so, because nobody wants to kill somebody and trying to just put some lights on in their house. But when you have government creating regulations that you have to have certifications to be a florist, when you have to have certifications to be able to do just the basic functions, when you have a government that comes along and says, you cannot have your children milk your cows because that is child abuse. Your children, the only people that can milk cows have to be 18 years of age. And there have been laws that have passed throughout the states that have made it impossible for kids to be able to work on their farms to learn the invaluable lesson of good labor. And so if you want to understand how we've gotten here, the biggest driver, and I will stand up to this, I believe it's our education system, because it has been teaching collectivism for a long time. Go back to my podcast on reclaimingtherepublic.org. I interviewed G. Edward Griffin on the show. It took a few, I think we did like 8 segments. But I remember him telling me that when he graduated, and I want to say he graduated in the 40s, he was taught collectivism. I know as I look back when I graduated at some XX years, that I was programmed to think like a communist. And if you can't say, if you've graduated since the 40s to now, if you look back at your education and you can't see the collectivism, you can't see how you've kind of been indoctrinated through the school system, then you need to look again, because I'm telling you, the indoctrination is a very tightly weaved fabric that they have connected all the curriculum together, from sciences to literature. And that is why very specific books they want you to read, and there's very specific books they don't want you to read. They are literally stripping us from our property in our rights, and we don't even know it. And so, my friends, I am telling you that all these things are contributing to our demise, and the only process that we have to our availability, the only way we can get back to having a true, and I say the classical liberal society that the framers put this republic on, is by auditing the Constitution and getting the federal government out of every facet of our lives that is not within the Constitution. We need to enforce the Constitution, and the audit and republic review are those processes. And I'm hoping that this can help motivate you and educate you and get you to that point where you too want to join me. And I'm done with this show for this week. We will be back next week. I am G.R. Mobley, Reclaiming the Republic. And with your help, we can all do this. And I do need your help. Thank you so much. God bless. And we'll talk to you on Monday. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities.